Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Well, yes indeed. Hello, ladies, gentlemen, children, but now to listen. That time again, Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, 1 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, and we have a special college preview for you today. But first, before we even get into all that, let me introduce my two guest hosts. One of them you know very well, JT Money, JT the Master. Master, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this because I plan to help. Hope you make some money for me this college season.
You know, we will always try to do that with the bookies parlay player today, but we haven't started the season yet. And let me also bring on my guest co-host, calling out of Delaware, my man from Talking Sports, Adrian Lee. Adrian, what's going on?
Not much, man. Sitting here, getting ready to talk some college football with y'all.
That's what's up. First off, let me before we even get into that, let me offer congratulations to Serena Williams for bringing home the gold medal today.
Oh,
yeah. In her trophy case. The seat walking was a little bit extreme, but hey, what's the girl from Compton to do, you know?
I hear you.
Big congratulations to her. Big shout-out to Michael Phelps. I think he's about on his 20th or 21st medal now.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's swimming like crazy out there.
Doing his thing, definitely doing his thing. And also, we got to congratulate the first African-American individual gymnast, Gabby Douglas, from our Virginia area. Big shout-out to her as well.
Big, huge, big shout-out to her. She did her thing.
Yeah, she was killing it out there.
Definitely did her thing. But without further ado, let's dig into some college football.
Hey, Mike, let me jump into this real quick. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions of the panel, especially Black and our guest host, they're the most knowledgeable on college football. So if you want to call in or even go to the chat room's sitting up there, and ask a question through the chat room, you can also do that. But I'll step back and let Black take it on.
Yes, indeed. Adrian, we have over 100-something teams. Which division would you like to run through right now, my friend?
Shoot, let's go local. Let's start off with the ACC.
You want to run through the ACC?
Yeah, that won't take too long.
But let's take a trip on the ACC country. Let's see, what will be the biggest opening game out of the ACC for the coming week? As I take a look at the top 12 non-conference games, I don't see too much ACC action in the top 12 non-conference games, but let's go through the ACC. Which teams do you like out of that conference?
Well, Florida State, they're returning. They got a good recruiting class coming in. They returning E.J. Manuel for his senior season. So they're looking good. Hopefully Jimbo Fisher will be able to call the right plays and they can stay injury-free during the season. But you also got to look at Virginia Tech. Since they didn't came into the league, they seem to keep winning the ACC. Those are the two. Virginia Tech out of the Coastal and Florida State out of the Atlantic. I see them in the ACC championship. Those are the main two powers right there, with Clemson being the sleeper coming out of the ACC Atlantic. They are missing Sammy Watkins for the first two games, and they start off with Auburn on September 1st. So they're going to be missing him for the first big game of the season already.
Oh, I think we lost Black. Hopefully he'll call back. Yeah, he did call back. Hold on a minute here. We got you back, Black. Sorry about that. What happened? You Black? You there?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Did you hear what he was saying? Or
no, I missed everything. It totally just cut me off.
All right. You want to tell rerun what you said there, Adrian, about those colleges?
Oh, okay. Well, out of the Atlantic Division, I got Florida State winning that side. They're returning E.J. Manuel for his senior year. Jimbo Fisher has pretty much got all of Bobby Bowden's old recruits out, and he's pretty much running the show. Like, his recruiting classes has been top five the last 2 years, so hopefully they can finally put it together on their side. On the coastal side, I got Virginia Tech. You can never go against the Hokies. They're good. They're guaranteed to lose one game in the beginning of the season that they ain't supposed to lose. But once the weather starts getting colder, they don't lose. My sleeper out of the ACC is Clemson, but they just got Sammy Watkins suspended for the first two games, and they start off the season with Auburn. But luckily, that's not a conference game, so that won't matter too much for the chase for the ACC.
Yeah, the Sammy Watkins is definitely not having a good start to the Heisman campaign. That two-game suspension is going to hurt. You bring up that matchup of Auburn and Clemson. That'll be September 1st in Atlanta. That should be a good one.
Yeah, that's going to be one to watch.
We can't overlook the first matchup, though. Tennessee versus NC State, August 31st, also in Atlanta. That's a great, great way for NC State to start out the season. That should be a tough test playing Tennessee.
NC State hasn't recruited good. They haven't recruited good since Chuck Amato left. Like, once Chuck left, and they lost all their Florida recruiting ties.
Yeah, out of the ACC, I believe NC State was ninth in ACC recruiters. It's going to be hard for them to try to catch up, but that should definitely be a big game playing Tennessee on August 31st.
Yeah. Well,
a couple of other big games. Oh, go ahead.
I got a couple questions for you. Well, one question. Isn't NC State pretty well known for their playing defense, or no? I'm just asking.
Well, they're returning their All-American cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
So besides him, they're not too deep on defense. They're not the same team that they used to be back when they had Phillip Rivers.
Oh, you're talking about years back now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going back a little bit.
Back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, they haven't been recruiting as well as they used to. I mean, they still got Mike Glennon as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been sold on NC State in a long time. Like, they went 4-4 in the conference last year. And they play in the Atlantic with Florida State, Maryland, and Clemson.
And
I'm thinking Maryland's going to be better this year.
That's going to hurt NC State that they're ninth for recruiting, playing those teams that you just mentioned. And the ball hawk that Adrian Lee is mentioning is David Amerson, the cornerback for NC State. He's a junior this year. Terrific ball hawk, and he led the NCAA in interceptions last year.
Okay.
So I would tell you, don't put any money on NC State this year, Meister.
Okay.
That's not
a problem.
When in doubt for the ACC, just the good money is Virginia Tech.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they always seem to pull it off towards the end. Like I said, once the weather starts cooling down and they start playing them night games, they don't lose. Like, Florida State is playing them at night in Blacksburg. That's going to be a tough one, because you don't win in Blacksburg at nighttime.
Okay.
And Yeah, that's a Thursday night game too in Blacksburg. Adrian, I wish your team luck, man.
Yeah, I was trying to go to that game.
I wish your team luck, but the first big one for Virginia Tech will be September 3rd against Georgia Tech. That would be an excellent game.
Yeah, that's going to be something. Because Georgia Tech, they still running that triple option. And if Virginia Tech if they don't stay in their lanes, it's going to be a long, long day because they're just going to keep running and running and running and waiting for somebody not to take the pitch man or to get their assignments confused. And next thing you know, quarterback's going to be running down the field.
All right, so since you're the big FSU fan, I expect Florida State to come out of the ACC. What type of year will E.J. Manuel have for the Seminoles?
If Jimbo opens up the playbook and lets him throw, he can have a good year. But knowing how Jimbo Fisher calls plays and the way he calls plays, he'll probably have another average season like he had. Like, for some reason, Jimbo's good for bubble screens. He likes to throw bubble screens all day long where he thinks he tries to run the Florida State offense like the Florida offense with Tebow. Like, when they had Rainey and Demps, Florida State doesn't have that speed on the outside. So those bubble screens don't work as good as they would if you had people running 4-1-40s as your wide receivers. He's running bubble screens with 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not going to work. That don't work too well. Running a bubble screen with a 5'6", 5'7", 100-meter champion, that works. It don't work when you're running it with possession receivers. You wouldn't let John Johnson run a bubble screen.
I think a key player for Florida State this year, I don't know if you guys have heard of him yet, but there's a 6'6", 242-pound wide receiver down there, a true freshman named Calvin Benjamin. And when they talked to E.J. Manuel during the spring practices, he said throwing the ball downfield to Benjamin was like throwing the alley-oop to LeBron James. So hopefully, if Fisher does open up this offense, we should see some exciting things between Manuel and Benjamin down there in Florida.
Yeah, if he opens up the offense, I'm not a big Jimbo Fisher fan at all. He recruits great. He recruits great, but as for play calling, nah. Not a good play caller.
Okay.
Let's see how this division shakes out. We go Florida State, Miami, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, Duke, NC State, Georgia Tech, Boston College, and Wake Forest.
And you got Miami ranked? You got Miami up there?
Miami actually is going through another infraction, I believe. They're under investigation again for something else. So Miami will be falling quickly.
Always, and that once they got rid of Coker, I guess it's been downhill. But I guess he was the problem. But it all started with Butch Davis. He brought him back, and Coker finished them off. And now they tried to put everything. Randy Shannon tried to clean up the program, getting rid of all the troublemakers, but let's be real. If you look at college football, the more troublemakers you have, the better your team is going to be. I mean, Florida led the league in arrests when they was winning the national championships.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Urban Meyer was getting people locked up left and right. But
oh,
it didn't matter.
Wow.
No.
I got a question for you. Why is that? Why is it that you got to be a little on the wild side, and maybe I'm answering my own question, to be a
a outstanding football guy, a guy who stands out on the football field. You got to be like a nut off the field to stand out on the field. Why is that? Anybody got an answer for that?
Because
I don't understand that.
I think it's something in the water down there in Florida.
Like, you got all these players that are used to hitting and tackling and tackling and hitting and violence, control violence, and then you tell them for this many months, all right, y'all can't do anything. See y'all later. See you in March. And they don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do. Like, all of them. It's not. It's just a handful, but, you know, it only takes one person to ruin your whole program.
Right, right.
Like, I think when Janoris Jenkins got suspended last season, the first thing he said was, if Urban Meyer was here, I wouldn't have got suspended.
Meaning he has more of a structure? Is that what you're telling me?
But meaning that if Meyer was there, that he would have looked past his trouble, and he was like, he's too good, dude. You're not going to kick off your returning All-American cornerback. So I guess that didn't sit well, because now in Ohio State, Urban has to pretty much suspend anybody who does anything wrong, because his contract is tied to the players. Like, he can't have the same arrest problems that he had in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll get fired. Because Ohio State's on probation already.
Right. That's right.
Well, since we're still in the ACC, let's cue up that Logan Thomas clip right quick.
I can do that real quick. Logan Thomas is on the way.
Relatively young offense, do you see yourself taking on more of a leadership role this offseason?
I've kind of taken the leadership role ever since the spring game. Yes, definitely so. And the younger guys have responded, and which has been a blessing for me. It's not making anything tough for me. They just kind of pick it up as it goes along, and picking it up quickly.
Did you see the offensive unit seem to come together and build some cohesiveness during the spring?
Yeah, I think we did. You could tell the defense was just blitzing us out of their mind, and Ivan Bond's picking it up. We were getting it out of our hands, just moving it down the field the way we wanted to. And too bad the spring game got rained out, because I was excited to see what we could do then. And we were just building on it every week. Every week we were getting better. And that was once camp starts.
I'm sure you saw a little bit of the pistol in the spring. You guys incorporating that. How does that play to your strength? How much do you think we'll see it during the year?
I couldn't tell you. We only played around with it for a little bit. But I think it's good for our running backs, because they can hide behind me. And at the same time, it gives me a threat to be able to run downhill to Lowry right off the start. So I think we have a – I think it's good. Hopefully we can use it. Hopefully it makes us better.
Do you think you're going to be running more this year because of – I mean, you got some uncertainty right there at running back. I mean, do you feel like that might lead to more design runs for you and more of an impact in the run game?
No, I think it's going to be probably the same. I don't think we'll change too much. To be honest, hopefully it's a little bit less. That means that we're running the ball well with our tailback, and we're doing it right in the passing game as well.
Black, what type of quarterback is Logan Thomas?
He's NFL caliber. I know Adrian would disagree, because he doesn't like the black quarterbacks in college, but he's an NFL caliber, 6'6", 262 pounds, strong arm, and also has scrambling ability. Look, this Virginia Tech team, they've returned 8 defensive starters back to the unit. They lost a lot on offense, but they definitely had a good defense last year. I look for Virginia Tech to come out of the ACC.
How are you just going to throw me out like that about my team? Well, I got bad news for you, Mike. That Virginia Tech, they're installing some option read for your quarterback down there at Virginia Tech. So, yeah, his NFL career is about to go. Because as soon as he fakes that handoff and runs, that's it. stock is dropping. I mean, but for real, like on the off season, he went and worked out with a passing guru. Everybody's a passing guru these days. He went out and worked on his pocket pass. The same guy who worked with Cam Newton. I didn't realize he was this big. I said, I know when he was recruited as a tight end. So he's so he's pretty big. So hopefully, some of that working out that he did with the passing, he might be able to do some Cam Newton things, but who knows? Cam Newton was a special 6'5", 250-pound, whatever, quarterback.
Oh, now he's special. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, he was
Virginia Tech was home of who? Michael Vick? I mean, come on, Thomas, 3,482 total yards of scrimmage last season. And tying the rushing touchdowns by a quarterback with 11.
And now they want to put him in the option read. You know that's a killer. You know that's a career killer. Unless you that guy playing for the Jets. I'm not even going to say his name.
I don't blame you. I don't want to say his name either. I don't blame you.
If you're not him, ain't nobody else going to get drafted running that offense. They don't like that offense.
He's a throwing quarterback. Out of the 391 attempts he had last year, 234 went for completions, 3,013 yards, passing all ranked second in school history for a single season behind only Don Strutt's records in 1972. Please do not demote this man to a wide receiver at the NFL level. He can play quarterback.
What about back to tight end?
I'm not going to see Logan Thomas playing tight end.
Well, my question is this then: how accurate a quarterback is, and how many interceptions besides those completions did he have last year, playing a different offense that he's going to play this year?
He didn't have many interceptions, so he's going to be playing in a different offense. The key thing for the Virginia Tech is how well that line gels this year, and what the running back, the true freshman Michael Holmes, does. Because they lost four linemen last year. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to try to get that gel and cohesiveness. Because we all know Virginia Tech is a very strong running team. They lost their running back, David Wilson, to the Giants in the draft. So it's going to be some growing pains. But I think Logan Thomas will right the ship.
And they play good defense and special teams.
They play great defense. Yeah. As you look down the schedule, besides the opening game at Georgia Tech on September 3rd, there's not another tough game on the schedule until
November
8th, Florida.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, Georgia Tech, Austin Peay, Pittsburgh, Bowling Green, Cincinnati, at North Carolina, Duke at Clemson, at Miami, home to Florida State, at Boston College in Virginia. That's a very, very easy schedule.
But that's the thing that kills Virginia Tech, though, because if every year you look at them, they'll lose one of those early games. They'll lose, and their schedule isn't strong enough for them to come back. Like, they'll lose one of these early games for no reason at all in September and then turn around and run the tables for the rest of the season and end up the season in the top five again like normal. But it's like, how do you lose early with this schedule? Like, they're not going to be able to jump, because if you look at the schedule, the only ranked team they might possibly play after that would be Clemson and Florida State.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Clemson. They played at Clemson October 20th. Mm-hmm. We know what happened last year. Clemson came to Blacksburg, and they put 23 up on VTech. VTech was only able to score 3 points. So that should be a revenge game there at Clemson.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, that's an easy schedule other than that.
Okay.
And that was their first loss last year.
Yeah.
All right. Where you want to go from here, Black?
I don't know. You want to stay in the ACC, Adrian? I really don't see any of these other teams competing with Florida State and Virginia Tech. So let's go ahead and take on the Big Bad Conference of the SEC, which is home to one of my favorite coaches, the good Steve Spurrier. Why don't we queue up some Steve Spurrier right quick for Media Day?
Okay. You got a long one here.
Always good listening to ball coaches.
I am not a Texas A&M football player, even though we got the same jackets on, just a about today. And they haven't been in here yet, have they? I saw three of them. We have identical jackets on. Anyway, good to be here at the SEC Media Days again. I feel fortunate that this is my 20th year here. So, and I do mean fortunate to last that long. But again, we're fired up in South Carolina. We think we've got a lot of good players. We realize potentially we can have a big year. We also realize it could go the other way if we don't really prepare one game at a time and get ready to play our best week in and week out. Vanderbilt is our opener Thursday night, national TV game. So we'll start preparing for those guys really about 2 weeks before that game, I guess, in mid-August. But other than that, our players, from what I hear, have had an excellent summer. Our attendance at workouts is excellent, the strength coach tells me. And we got a good group of guys. We got guys that are committed and hopefully know sort of how to win and what it takes to win in South Carolina now. Hasn't always been the case, but the reason we've done better the last 2 years is pretty simple. We got better players, I think better coaches, and the guys' commitment is the best maybe that we've ever had there. So we hope to continue that and see what happens this coming season. How have I what? Oh, the media guys. There's only one or two every now and then that I sort of don't write the truth, but other than that, most of you guys are excellent. Well, it means I've been here longer. Yeah, and that is sort of something neat. It is something neat. I tell people one of my goals in coaching is to never get fired. And not many coaches can ever quit without getting forced out. Barry Alvarez, he said that was one of his goals in coaching was to get out before he got fired. Because I told him he could have lasted a lot longer. He and I are about the same age. But he wanted to get out a little earlier, I guess. But again, we do have our best teams the last couple of years at South Carolina. And we know we got a chance to have another good one this year. But we got to get ready and go play and play well. Well, not all defense now. The defense has been a little stronger, I must say that. We were third in the conference in defense last year, but we were fourth in offense. And we did it, I think we had more rushing yards than passing yards, which is... And we ran the ball about 70% of the time, I think, something like that. But that's what we did best, and it worked out pretty well for us. But our defense has played well, but the offense has helped the defense. When you, I think against Tennessee last year, we had a, was it a 12 or 13-minute drive? What's Steve think? 13-minute drive? I know it's the longest one I ever had as a coach. And when your offense can stay on the field, your defense doesn't have to play so much. And your defensive statistics get good when you're out there, you know, 55 to 60 plays. And that's part of football. A lot of people don't realize that usually your real good defenses play with strong running teams that control the clock. So there's all kind of ways to do it. I'm just saying that was our best way to be successful, was to run more than throwing maybe the last couple of years. We hope we're upgrading. We hope we're upgrading our special teams with Joe Robinson, special team coordinator 2 years ago at LSU. They were number one overall special teams in the SEC. I really like Joe. I think he's an excellent coach, good teacher. He's not a scream guy, but he knows his stuff. And hopefully we'll do a little bit more special team-wise than we've done in the past. Oh, I don't know how I've changed. As a coach, you always coach to your personnel. You try to. You try to do what your players are capable of doing. And that's what we've tried to do. Our style's a little different. Obviously, most years at Florida, we would come out throwing, because we were very good at it. Quarterbacks, receivers, they knew what they were doing. And we could throw it up and down the field, get a lead, and then start running the ball and consume some clock up in the second half and so forth. Now we may come out running the ball in the first quarter because that's maybe what we do better than throwing. But again, all coaches try to do whatever their personnel talent of their team is best at and give them a chance to win the game. Do what? Not too much. Not too much. I have a quarterback coach. We have a quarterback coach, receiver coach, and all of that. But I still overcoach a little bit of everything on offense. Still call the plays. So I guess you'd say I'm sort of running the offense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we beat them. For the first time since, I think, 1939 when we beat them in 05. But, I mean, I'll always be a Gator, but I'm not really a Gator right now. When I finish coaching at South Carolina, I'll get to be more of a Gator, still be a Gamecock, still be a Dukie. I'm a Dukie, too, now. Shoot. People ask me where I learned how to coach, and I always tell them Duke University. And so I'm a big fan of Duke University football and so forth. But anyway, beating Florida, you know, it's when you're with your players, it really doesn't matter who you play against. It's your guys against the other guys. And you don't look at much of anything else except, hey, it's our guys against their guys. How are we gonna beat them so we can win the game? And that's pretty much how I look at every game, including the Florida game.
Okay, that was Steve Spurrier. Black?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, my man Spurrier, South Carolina. Like he was touching on, I don't know about that quarterback situation down there in South Carolina. What you think about Connor down there in South Carolina, Lee?
Steve Spurrier always has problems with his quarterback ever since he left Florida. Like, Connor Shaw is all right. I mean, his job should be just hand the ball off to Marcus Lattimore.
Exactly. And instead of 70% running, it should be 100% running.
Yeah.
Like, everything on Lattimore.
Like, but slowly, to Steve Spurrier's credit, he's done with people didn't think he could do down in South Carolina. He's actually built that program up. I mean, they're double-digit wins now. Like, they won the SEC East 2 years ago. They won 11 games last year. And I'm like, it's because there's a lot of talent in South Carolina that was going everywhere else but South Carolina. But right now, he's recruiting them good. Like I said, he still got on the defensive side Clowney. And they say he could be the next Javon Kears.
Clowney is a beast. I saw that kid in high school. He's an animal. The South Carolina defense, I believe, was ranked the nation's best last year, if I'm not mistaken, the defensive line. And not much of a drop off with Clowney and Taylor, even though they lost Melvin Ingram and Travion Robinson. But that defense is going to be stout. As I look down their schedule as well, at Vanderbilt, East Carolina, UAB, Missouri, Kentucky, Georgia, at LSU, at Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, and then you end off with Wofford and then at Clemson. I don't know how that Wofford game stuck in there.
The SEC always puts a cake game towards the end of the season. Like, if you go look at all their schedules, they all play like something like that towards the end of the season. That's what they do. Because they don't play one in the beginning.
Yeah, they don't play one in the beginning. That East Carolina game could be one, though. Could be one.
What do you think about Georgia?
Oh, Georgia, man. What is it not to like about Georgia? Tough team. I think they finished fourth in recruiting out of the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, Jarvis Jones. Definitely
they lost
an animal.
So well.
Yeah, they did lose Croyer, but Aaron Murray is back. He should be better at quarterback. You look at the wideouts, Tavares King and Malcolm Mitchell, they're returning.
The freshman, the number top five rated running back coming out of high school, Keith Marshall, I think he's going to end up starting from day one.
Yeah, as I look at that kid's numbers, 4,552 yards rushing and 55 touchdowns in his North Carolina high school career. That guy's going to be a beast. I like Georgia. I look at Georgia's schedule. They
open
Buffalo. Buffalo. Come on. At Missouri, Florida Atlantic, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, South Carolina, at Kentucky, versus Florida and Jacksonville, Ole Miss and Auburn, and we finish with Georgia Southern and Georgia Tech.
You notice who's missing from that schedule, right?
Yeah, I notice who's missing. Huh?
Okay. That's why they're ranked so high, because there's two teams that's missing from that schedule.
I can see them going probably like last year, maybe 10-4, maybe 11-3.
If they can get past South Carolina, because Florida's not the Florida of old, because they're changing their whole offense around, and they still don't know who their quarterback's going to be.
And that game won't be in Gatorville; it'll be in Jacksonville.
Yeah, the cocktail bar, or whatever they renamed it to now.
Yeah.
So yeah, Georgia's always one of those teams, like a Virginia Tech. Georgia's always one of those teams that, when the season's over, you're like, man, Georgia's pretty good. But then you look up towards the beginning of the schedule, you're like, how'd y'all lose that game?
I'm sorry, what's Georgia's strong suit, defense or offense?
Oh, they have no question one of the most talented defenses in the league.
Okay.
And one of the better returning quarterbacks coming back, and that's always a plus when dealing with college football, is to be returning a quarterback. And they're expecting Murray to do things. They're expecting him to pull some Matt Stafford, maybe make that jump to being a top 10 NFL draft pick.
Really?
No. Like, but losing Crowell. Say that again?
He'd got that type of ability?
They say he does. They say that we have to see him put it out on the field for back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, I won't buy that for Murray. He's 6'1", 211. He's going to have to show me a lot this season. For that to get done.
I mean, he threw 35 touchdowns last season, so.
Yeah, he did. It was a talented offense, but the passing game was their strong suit last year.
Losing Crowell hurts, because they're trying to flip-flop and look for running backs now. They're moving a guy from linebacker back to running back. So they got the freshman, but he got injured in the spring game, so he's still behind the curve. But like I said, running back is one of those positions where you just hand the ball off, let them go. It's been a lot of freshman running backs that come into college to tear it up. But if I was Mark Rick, I would just hand the ball, put them in the starting lineup and let them go.
Yeah, but speaking of guys that were left off of that schedule, let's talk about one of those teams, the LSU Tigers. I have no idea about the Zach Mettenberger, but he'll be the starting quarterback, 6'5", 222. Please school me on Mr. Mettenberger, please, Mr. Lee.
So he used to play for Georgia. But he...
Oh, so he's a Georgia transfer?
Yeah, he's a Georgia transfer. He's a Georgia transfer, played a couple of games there. I don't remember the exact reason why he transferred. But like I said, he's a big kid. Like I said, I haven't seen him play neither, because I think he played behind Murray. And Murray's been playing since he was a freshman. That's why Mettenberger left. So LSU's never had a good offense. Their offense is never – last time they had a real, real good offense, that's when they had Jamarcus Russell throwing the ball around. But other than Les Miles, he likes to run the ball. He's going to run. Like I said, they're going five deep on running backs. they're coming at you with running backs and fullbacks and a defense. So they just pretty much like beating people into submission. Good defense, good running game, speed on the outside to scare the cornerbacks. You just hopefully the quarterback can throw. Like Jordan Jefferson, any other year with the team that LSU had last year, Jordan Jefferson would have been a Heisman contender playing on that team if he could have completed some passes. That was one of the better college football teams I'd have seen, but their quarterback play was below average. You would think they'd be able to recruit better quarterbacks or better game managers in LSU.
I'm looking at the schedule for LSU right now. I don't see a loss.
Not even the Bama again?
I don't know. I don't see it. They could run through this schedule. You open up at North Texas, Washington, Idaho. Then your first road trip is at Auburn. Come back
you
home with Towson.
You don't see the upset? You don't see Towson pulling off the upset?
No. I don't see Towson.
Towson. Okay.
That might be an 80-point output in that one. At Florida, South Carolina, at Texas A&M, Alabama, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and you end at Arkansas. They could run through the schedule. All depending on the quarterback play at Mettenberger, though. I know Spencer Ware comes back at the running back, and they still bring back Speedy Odell Beckham at wideout. But everybody knows about the Honey Badger on defense. Tyrann Mathieu, the defense is stout. The defense is stout and strong.
Do you think he's going to have a year like he had last year?
Honey Badger?
Yeah.
Definitely when you're out there running around and you got a 6'3 corner on the other side. And throwing
well, last
time
year he
6'3,
got to play a lot. He got to blitz a lot. He blitzed
yeah.
a lot off the corner because they had Claiborne on one side and they let that guy, they let the other corner, Simon, he played a lot last year too. So on third downs, Mathieu, he would play the slot, and he blitzed a lot. So it all depends on what their backup cornerback is. Because if Mathieu is actually playing corner.
But don't forget they have two strong safeties in Eric Reed
yeah.
and Greg Lawson as well. I mean, you look at that backfield, the safeties are 6'2", and you got Simon at 6'3". That's a tough defensive backfield.
Yeah, Mathieu will be considered the weak link because he's a short. Yeah,
exactly. And he's a Heisman candidate, so that should tell you something right there.
But it all like I said, LSU, watching them play last year, like, they was beating up on everybody. That Alabama game, what was it, 12-9, the first game that they played?
Right. Alabama game, yeah. That was
9-6.
9-6.
9-6.
That was terrible. Then they played again, and LSU couldn't get past the 50-yard line. Like, what did Nick Saban figure out?
The difference is, though, this game will be in LSU as opposed to in Alabama.
Yeah, Death Valley. I'm sure they're going to make that a night game.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to make that a night. I'm sure that's already I'm sure that's already made for a night game. Come see Alabama LSU in Death Valley at night for a whopping 2-0 game.
So speaking of Alabama, let's bring up a little bit of Coach Nick Saban and see what Nick Saban has to say for media day.
We can do that.
Purchase your South Alabama football season tickets for all of the home games this fall, starting at only $50, including a home game against the Troy Trojans on Saturday, September 29th. Get your season tickets now by calling 461-1-USA. It's our time.
Had a great summer. I hope you've had a great summer. The fact that we moved this up a week and I get to see you all a week sooner has enhanced the quality of my summer, no doubt. And we're looking forward to the challenges of this SEC season, which I see a lot of good teams, a lot of good coaches, and a lot of good players, so it's going to be very challenging. AJ did a fantastic job for us last year, and I think that the thing that AJ did best was, you know, he kind of took what the defense gave. He played with a lot of discipline. He didn't try to force things. He didn't turn the ball over a lot. And that sort of helped his development and his confidence, and it certainly helped our team have success. And he certainly culminated the season with an outstanding performance in the SEC, I mean, the national championship game. And he has continued to improve and show good leadership for this team coming up in 2012. And I think that the fact that we have a pretty good offensive line coming back, an experienced quarterback, you know, may enhance the development of the rest of our offensive team. Well, it is a little bit of an issue because we don't have anyone who has any experience at that position since we've lost Philip Sims, who, for personal reasons, family issues, is going back to be closer to home, and we wish him very well in that. But we don't have anybody that has any experience at the position. We have some guys that are talented guys that our challenge is to get them to develop and to get them some experience early in the season. That's going to be difficult to do when two out of the first three teams we play are in the top 10, Michigan and Arkansas, but that's going to be our goal. I think what I suggested was is, even though this is a very criminal thing, and that we should focus on the outcome. I do this a lot with players that have issues and problems, is rather than focus on the punishment, focus on the outcome that might be a win-win and be helpful to everyone. And I just, as a suggestion of what might be something that would focus on the outcome, it would be to, you know, tax the university for all their ticket sales or whatever in athletics and donate the money to some organization who is dedicated to protecting children. Excuse me? There's not much of a transition. You know, we sort of have our system. You know, we have our system on defense. We have our system on offense. We have our system on special teams. So we changed one guy in the building. So that means we're going to change everything for every other person in the building? Or are we going to keep that system in place so that our players have a chance and it's not an overall change for all of them? Now, every time you make a change, you get new enthusiasm, new ideas, and we want to implement as many of those as we can so that we can improve on what we've done and what we will do in the future. But, you know, we sort of hire people to do and execute what we do and want to improve on that the best way that we can. Well, you know, I have a tremendous amount of, you know, respect and admiration for Steve. I mean, I think he's the best coach in the league over time. He's done a fantastic job, and you know, I really like to try to be like him. You know, he's older than me, so I look up to him. I even thought about, you know, wearing a visor, you know, this year, but I'm afraid I'd throw it, so I don't wear any hats on the sidelines. But Steve has done a wonderful job. He's done a great job at South Carolina. I think they're going to have a really good team this year. And I think it's a milestone that is something that he's probably looking forward to. And I would look forward, as a friend and someone who respects him professionally, love to see him accomplish.
Okay, that was Nick Saban.
The great Nick Saban.
All right, Black.
Did you call him the great Nick Saban? Did I just hear that?
great Nick Saban. You're not a Nick Saban fan?
I'm a Steve Spurrier fan, and you saw that the great Nick Saban acknowledged Steve Spurrier, so that's all I needed to hear.
Three BCS championships.
You can have Nick, and I'll hang on to Steve, okay?
Spurrier's a good coach. Nick Saban is built for college football. Like, I don't know what it is. If you watched him on ESPN, the way he yells at his players or whatever, he goes off and cussing and pushing cats around or whatever, but he finds these NFL-ready players. Like, if you want to go to the NFL and you play defense, you're going to Alabama. Like, he's pulling linebackers, 17-year-old linebackers that's already 245, 50 pounds.
Black, I got two callers on the line. Let me bring in this first caller who's been hanging on for a little bit. Caller from the 240, welcome to the FSP show. State your name and tell us what you got to say on the college preview afternoon.
What's happening? I'm the Kermit hater.
Okay. We're talking about Mikhail, who happens to be the other caller's cousin. Let me bring him on the line. You couldn't stay away. You had to join the college preview afternoon. Hello there, Mr. Gardner.
You know I did. It's me. It's Mr. FSP. What's going on, family?
Well, hello. It seems that we have the U.S.'s badminton duo on the line with us today.
Oh. For real? That's how we going? Okay.
What's going on, family?
Hey, Matt, Black, I know you like the javelin throw. You know, you like to handle those sticks like that.
Oh, man. Let's keep it cool.
No, as I understand, I'm playing your role today, Vic, so I'll take all the shots. No problem.
Hey, it's all good. Listen. I just got finished building a fence up in West Baltimore for Habitat Humanity, whatever it is. I can't remember what it is.
Is that part of your military training? Is that part of your military training? Because we have another military man on the line, my guest host today, okay. Adrian Lee.
All right, Mr. Lee, how you doing?
What's going on? I'm good.
Great. I know Black put you on because you must be an expert in the field of college football. So welcome to the show. Well, they already welcomed you, but thanks for coming on.
No problem. Good to be here.
Great. But, yes, we had to do a group community project. And they chose to go to West Baltimore, and they didn't understand because they're not of – only a few of them are of my ethnicity, and they were, like, looking at things. And I was like, yeah, you saw the wire? That wasn't no made-up stuff. That's real. Yeah, that's spooky in them. That's real. But anyway.
Somewhat of a culture shock. Somewhat of a culture shock, you're saying. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah, okay.
Some of them were cool. Some of them were like, wow, I can't believe it. Well, now I'm grateful for what I had. And I'm like, yeah, you better be. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about why in the hell is LSU number one over Alabama in a preseason ranking. That's all I want to know.
I'll let Mr. Lee take that.
Oh, gosh. I was gonna ask the same thing. And I was waiting for that to come up too. Like, I don't see how Alabama's returning the quarterback who won the BCS. I mean, the only thing I can see is Alabama. I think they lost like 9 starters on defense. But I don't know why LSU would be ranked. I don't even know why they have a coaches poll in the first place. It's the worst poll of all time. Coaches vote like they actually watch the games. Like, most of these coaches ain't seen nobody play.
Well, they're pretty similar in return to starters. 13 for LSU, 6 offensive, 5 defensive, and for the same for Alabama, they have 12, 6 offensive and 4 defensive, including the kick and punter for both teams.
Sure.
But I guess the nudge goes to LSU.
it shouldn't, because, I mean, granted, they won the first game, but I know a lot of people didn't like the championship game, but at the same time, you got to think about it. LSU was totally dominated from beginning to end, and it was a straight defensive game. Now, they're going to return the Honey Badger, who to me, again, is nothing more than a stellar special teams player. But I don't see – they have high recruits. Got it. Got it. But Alabama, they have stockpiled talent that didn't go to the NFL, and they have maybe one or two more years left, and they have that experience. And they have one of the best running backs recruited and that sat on the bench last year that's going to come in and take over for Trent Richardson. So I just don't get it. I don't like it. Didn't understand it. I just thought you guys could help me out. But
it's just a bill controversy. That's all. It's just a bill controversy.
That's it. Just to have this discussion right here, because it really, they're like, they're the same team, and the SEC, to me, they're just building it up for them to play so they can have a 1-versus-2 matchup. Like,
yeah.
Why is Georgia's ranked number 6 in the nation in the preseason? Florida State's ranked 7, and I think we're way too high.
And to get technical, LSU did go 8-0, first in the West, and Alabama went 7-1, second in the West. Just to get technical.
To get technical, that's fine, but that's in the SEC. But overall, who finished number 1, and who won when it actually counted? Alabama. So that's just like saying the Giants, and I hate using them, but it's a good reference. The Redskins swept them this past year.
You always have to find a way to include the Redskins in every conversation, every Saturday on this show.
Hey,
why?
Hey, it's my show. I can do what I want, but at least my own is going to get up and say,
it's not
please,
your
please,
show today.
Please,
it's
please,
not your
Mr.
show
Gardner.
Today.
Please mute Mr. Gardner now.
I mute him.
Let me use my powers of today. Put him on mute, please.
Hey.
Is he muted?
It's Black Show. Go ahead. If you mute me, because Black is ready.
I just muted
go
him, Black.
Yay. Yay.
I just muted him. I'm going to bring him back to see how he likes it now.
Yeah, bring him back.
Oh, Black, I can't bring him back.
Oh, man, that's great. That's excellent. We can continue with the show.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Because I can't bring him back. Hold on a minute. Let me try and bring him back in. Here we go.
Oh, my God. I'm about to say. You know what?
It ain't cool when the inmates running the asylum, is it?
It's okay. You know what?
Go ahead to finish your point, please, sir.
Anyway, I forgot my point because you threw me off. But, no, the point that I was making was that the Redskins were the only team to sweep the Giants this year or this past year. And that's a hill of beans because the Giants are the ones that won the Super Bowl. What moral victory do we get out of that we can beat the Super Bowl champions, but we're not good enough to make to be a 500 team? I mean, that's just what that means to me in this situation with LSU and Alabama. Alabama, they lost one game, and they happened to lose it to the LSU Tigers. Got it. At home, which was kind of bad, I got that too, but it was a low-scoring game that could have gone either way. Champion game. It was a decent scoring game, but the outcome was never in doubt after the first, 10 minutes, when LSU couldn't get past their own, 50, own 40? It was never in doubt then. So that's why I'm saying, you know, I don't care how many tricks Les Miles has up his sleeve, he cannot devise a system that's going to effectively take out Alabama when the chips are on the table. And I agree with our guest where he says the system, the playoff system is designed right now, it looks like, to have SEC 1 and 2 because I know it kicks in 2014, but do you really think, okay, Alabama seeded number 1, LSU seeded number 2, they're not going to crush the Pac-10 representative or the Big 12 or the Big 10 representative or the ACC representative? it's going to end up being SEC versus SEC anyway. So unless somebody gets lucky and they shock the world, but, you know, that's just my beef on it. And I'm going to let you guys actually go finish the show because I just got back in. I'm sweaty. I'm dirty. I just wanted to call in and let my presence be known. That's all.
All right. Well, you're back on mute, I guess. Whatever.
Oh, you mother. You didn't mute me, did you? No, you didn't.
No, you're still there. You're still there. You say something wrong when I mute you.
You know what, Jerry? That's okay. That's why you're tripping.
I just muted you. You're back again. I'm sorry.
Your ass, dude. That isn't cool. You know what? I'm still going to use the mute button anyway. I'm still going to use it anyway. But all right, y'all have a good show, and don't beat up on Black too much. But you know, he's a Cowboys fan. Do what you got to do. Take it easy, fellas.
See ya.
All right, man.
All right.
Before we were rudely interrupted by the obnoxious guy, we were talking
right.
about the Georgia Bulldogs, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, you talking about, Mettenberg, and then we moved to Alabama.
Right, then we moved to Alabama. There we go. There
mm-hmm.
I got Alabama doing the same thing. Looks like
winning the national championship?
Either 7-1 or 8-0 in the SEC West.
Yeah, it's pretty much. I mean, I'm looking at they play Michigan and then they play Michigan, Western Kentucky, Florida Atlantic.
Yes, go through it. Go through it. this schedule is terrible.
Yeah, Michigan, Western Kentucky, Arkansas, Florida Atlantic, Ole Miss, Missouri, Tennessee, Mississippi State, the game against LSU, Texas A&M, Western Carolina, then the Iron Bowl versus Auburn. So, yeah, the whole coaches poll to me, since this SEC dominant stuff, has been built on trying to get at least one SEC team in the national championship. The SEC all has a built-in, we can lose one game and still play for the national championship thing about them. It's like, okay, yeah, well, they can lose while other conferences can't. You're not going to have a one-loss ACC team, a one-loss Big Ten team, a one-loss Pac-10 team sitting there in a national championship.
No, those divisions are not worthy.
Yeah. They're like, nah, we'll rather put two SEC teams back in this thing. And I didn't even watch that BCS championship. One, it came on it 4 o'clock in the morning where I was at. And two, I was like, I'm not about to watch this nonsense again.
You didn't miss anything special.
Yeah, I woke up and they was like, well, LSU hasn't got past the 50-yard line. I was like, good job.
Okay. Wow.
Wasn't a fan.
So you're not a fan of the BCS championship game, or you just weren't a fan of those two teams meeting each other again?
I'm not a fan of the rematch. I'm not a fan of how they picked the BCS. I'm not a fan of the BCS. I'm more of not a fan of the SEC in general.
Oh, because you're a Florida State fan. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
He's just an SEC hater, Master.
No,
let me just clear it up for you. Was the best divisions of college football. How could you hate it? I don't know, but HD finds a way to hate the SEC.
The SEC... If you look at the SEC, like last year, Boise State beat Georgia. And Georgia went on and they won the SEC. But during the whole season, everybody was like, Boise State, Boise State. It was like, oh, they only beat Georgia. Georgia's nobody. LSU beat them, Georgia became somebody. It was like the SEC only uses, we play the hard conference when it helps them out. Like if somebody else beats that team, it's all y'all beat one of the other teams. But if they beat them, it's like, man, we beat them. I'm like, you can't have it both ways.
But that was a tough game, and that was the very first game of the season.
It don't matter. They downplayed Georgia all season until they looked like, oh, Georgia's about to win the SEC East. Georgia's good. Georgia's good now. I was like, and then LSU went and blew Georgia out, but everybody was like, yeah, we beat Georgia. We beat Georgia. That's right. I was like, so did Boise. So did Boise. I'm like, they can't, they pick and choose when they want to say they play in the tough conference and they got the team and whatever. Like I said, if anybody else was to come down and beat their team, it don't matter. Until they play them. Then it's, oh, we play a tough schedule. I'm like, you saw Alabama's schedule. Besides LSU and Michigan, who's really sticking out?
Yeah, that was my big beef last year with Alabama, even though they wore out LSU the last game. Their schedule was questionable at best. So.
All right, their schedule from last year, Kent State, Penn State, North Texas, Arkansas, Florida, Vanderbilt, Mississippi, Tennessee, LSU, Mississippi State, Georgia Southern, and Auburn. And then LSU again in the championship game.
Mm-hmm. Florida was ranked when they played them, but Florida wasn't that good. I think either Alabama played Florida first or LSU played Florida first, but whoever it was, they knocked out three of their quarterbacks. I'm like, the schedule was not that good. But they can always say, well, we played, you never know, Vanderbilt can always be good. We played a tough Vanderbilt team. I'm like, Vanderbilt don't count.
Please.
Right,
Vanderbilt?
That game was 34 to donut.
Yeah.
In Alabama. The Florida game, LSU beat Florida at home 41-11. For Alabama, they took the trip to Gatorville, won 38-10.
So they didn't have any tough opponents besides LSU. But people will always say, well, it's the SEC. You never know who can win in the SEC. And I'm just like, you know what? Like I said, they winning now.
It's a true statement.
True. It is a true statement. It's all good now because they're winning and you can't argue against the winning. Even though somehow these teams magically end up in the BCS, LSU lost two games and still got into a national championship. Show me a team that loses two games and gets in the national championship.
Which two games are you talking about?
Oh, when LSU won their last national championship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They lost two games and still played in the national championship. That's unheard of.
Hey, man, I mean, it's the NFL, man. What can you say?
It's true. That's why I hope this playoff thing comes into play, but they're already trying to tweak it, saying let's not get the four. First they were saying let's get the four from the best conferences. Now they're like, let's get four of the best teams. I'm like, well, all that means is it's going to be two SEC teams in the playoffs.
I'm going to find a way to get the SEC conference to grow on you, Mr. Lee. I'm going to find a way.
I'm like, the sleeper will be USC.
Where's USC rated right now? I know we haven't gotten to the Pac-10 yet, but
we can go to the Pac-10 since he brought up USC.
Well, they're three in the coaches' poll. They're three in the coaches' poll. I'm like,
three in the coaches' poll.
Yeah, they're the, like, when you look at college football, really, it's only about 15 teams that are actually going to play for them. Can't play for a national championship. It's not like March Madness. You can tell pretty much somebody in this top 10 coaches poll is going to win the national championship. That's how it normally works out. But the USC, they're returning Barkley, 2,000-yard receivers, and they just got Silas Red from Penn State. The only thing holding them back will be they don't have a lot of depth at defense. Because of those probations that they was on for the past couple of years.
But they do bring back 8 defensive starters, and they bring back one of the coaches I can't stand, Lane Kiffin. I think pressure bust pipes here in this situation. I don't see USC pulling out the national championship. Not this year.
I think they'll win the Pac-10.
I think it'll be too much pressure for them to try to win the championship.
Well, yeah, if they win the Pac-10, they're going to play in the BCS. They're going to play in the championship because there's a West Coast bias. Everybody knows that. Like, they need a team on the West Coast to be good. And once USC starts winning, all those West Coast voters are just going to keep voting for USC to compete so they can make sure that they're in that game. Whereas in the SEC, people are going to be splitting votes between LSU and Bama and Georgia and Arkansas and South Carolina. Every West Coast voter is going to vote for USC as long as they keep winning. I don't think they're going to win, and if they get into national, I don't see them winning. But I think they have the best chance of being the other team in the national championship.
Yeah, I expect a lot of scoring out of USC this season. As I look down their schedule, Hawaii, Syracuse, at Stanford, California, at Utah, at Washington, Colorado, at Arizona, Oregon, Arizona State, at UCLA, and they finish off with Notre Dame. This is a very, very, very solid schedule to me, in my opinion.
That's a Pac-10 schedule, though.
Yeah.
That's a Pac-10 schedule for you.
They're going to benefit from being preseason number three, because that's only helps if they just run along and run up the score through all these games. It's definitely going to happen. The return of T.J. McDonald, the free safety that decides to come back, definitely a good move for him. It's a good defense shaping up down there. I don't know about the depth, like you said, on the defense, but they definitely have a good defense coming back. And what can you say about Robert Woods and Marquise Lee, the two returning receivers? They should put up great numbers down there in USC, but I just don't see Lane Kiffin bringing a championship home for some reason.
You don't have too high a regard for Lane Kiffin, is that what you're telling me?
No, not too high a regard for Lane Kiffin. Great respect for his father, though. Great respect.
Yeah,
Monty's
good.
But you can toss Lane in that Victor Garner category for me.
So you don't like Lane's coaching? You don't like Lane? You don't think that Lane's a good enough coach, or you don't think USC's a good enough team?
It's just something about, I don't know. It's like those guys that you just see that just rub you the wrong way. He's one of those type of guys to me.
Oh yeah, I can see that. The good thing about being Lane Kiffin, though, is that he's at USC. There is no NFL team in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
they are the NFL
team.
He
definitely has a chance to be king there.
And California, like Texas, like Florida, they have great football out there. He doesn't have to leave the state. He doesn't have to leave the state to recruit. I mean, if you looked at when Pete Carroll was there, he was just racking them up. I'm like, and college football is mostly talent. If you're pulling in the better players, you don't have to do that much coaching until you get to the good game. You can beat Hawaii on just pure, I'm better than you. You can beat Colorado on I'm pure better than you. It's going to come down to coaching when they have to play Oregon. Other than that, that's their only challenge between the USC and Wisconsin would be the only two teams that I can see playing for a national championship. Because Wisconsin is guaranteed to be in the Big Ten championship already.
You mentioned Oregon. What do you think Oregon's chances are in the Pac-12? I know Darren Sharma came out. I don't know why. He should have stayed, because I believe Oregon would be playing for a national championship had he stayed. So what do you think about Oregon?
Oregon, I like how Chip Kelly's running that offense. He's just getting fast people, and he's like, you know what, I'm just going to try to outrun you. Like I said, I haven't seen the backup quarterback, Bennett, play yet. So I don't even know what type of quarterback he is, but if he's recruited by Chip Kelly, I'm sure he's a runner. I know they got DeAnthony Thomas, the Black Mamba, or whatever they want to call him. He's fast. And Kenyon Barner. But if you look at Oregon's history, Oregon gets real good when USC isn't good. when USC is not recruiting good, Oregon recruits real good and they're winning. When USC becomes good, Oregon drops back down again. It's like they both can't be good at the same time.
Why is that?
Oregon recruits a lot out of California.
Oh, okay.
But with USC being able to keep all the good California talent, it's like Oregon has to recruit the
leftovers.
The leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Oregon showed up these last couple of years, USC's been on probation. When Pete Carroll was there, it was USC dominated. It was a one-team lead. Before Pete Carroll, Oregon was killing them when they had Joey Harrington back in those days. Like, once USC gets back, this might be Oregon's last good run, but their offense is always good to put up points. They can beat anybody. And they got the uniforms.
Yeah, okay.
It's always a plus when you're coming out there with glow-in-the-dark uniforms.
Yeah, I think I don't think Bennett is going to be the starting quarterback because I get word out of Oregon that Marcus Mariota looked way better than Bennett during the spring games and the spring drills. So
mm-hmm.
It could be Mariota starting that quarterback instead of Bennett. I know that they have a 6'8", 300-pound defensive lineman, true freshman that enrolled early, named Eric Armstead. So that's a name to keep a lookout for. I've never seen a 6'8 defensive lineman, so this should be crazy. They got a lot of returners on defense. I think guys to watch for Oregon could be Kenjon Bonner, the running back, and Josh Huff, the wide receiver, along with Deion Jordan and Michael Clay, the linebacker and D-lineman.
They got some teams.
This schedule, man. Arkansas State, Fresno State, Tennessee Tech, and Arizona to open up September. A trip to Washington State, Washington, at Arizona State, Colorado, at USC, at California, Stanford, and at Oregon State. This is a joke of a schedule.
Typical Pac-10 schedule, though. There's nothing against the Pac-10, but they don't. It's a typical Pac-10 schedule. It's like that's how they do. They've always scheduled like that. They're not tough schedulers out there. I mean, it's been a few times where they might make a trip here or there or whatever, but other than that, like, no, they don't schedule hard out of conference. They got that West Coast vote.
Yeah, I see Chip Kelly's up-tempo read option offense doing the same thing last year, but this guy's putting up maybe 50 a game and maybe 500 yards a game. This is a cupcake schedule if you can ever imagine one.
Will they beat USC?
I can tell you that probably the week before, because I still got to see if Bennett or Mariota is going to be at the quarterback and see how they look. But I can definitely handicap that one for you when the time arrives.
Yeah, okay.
Stanford, Utah, Washington, UCLA, the rest of the division is just filler. California. But my boy is back. He serviced all the way in Washington State. Let me see if my guy Jerry has a little bit of Mike Leach for me on that.
And Mike Leach is here, definitely.
Well, that was good. We bounced around good. You know, with the tentative nature that exists and people kind of getting used to the drills where they are, us having to say, here, line up here, okay, like this, not like that. I thought it was really good. I thought, you know, it was literally the slowest practice of the year. But, you know, I mean, besides the fact it's the first practice of spring, I mean, just getting familiar with the practice routine here and how we do things. But I thought it was really good. We had guys bounce around good. Didn't have too many hesitators. I thought the enthusiasm was great. There were some explosive plays on both sides. And, if you go look at the film, I mean, there's all kinds of polishing to do and stuff like that. But we didn't really have to spur anybody to be afraid to make a play, so I thought that was pretty good.
practice.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Do you get a practice and you got snow still on the ground?
It's happened. You know, it was pretty random in Texas. I mean, it would happen, but it wasn't, it would be zero to, as I think about that, because when we prepare for bowls, there are a lot of snow, you know, there'd be snow and stuff. So a lot of times it was bowl preparation. It didn't have a game in it, you know, despite the folks up there at Nebraska and Kansas State want to act like every day it snows up there. It didn't. I thought it was kind of fun. You know, it worked out good, and I thought it'd be wetter than it was, but it wasn't. And so I didn't think the weather was a factor. If you're a player, it's great. You run around here, you don't sweat, and it's fantastic. If you're a coach, you get to check out your gear and see how it fits, you know.
How does it fit?
Loose. You know, I don't know. I look like a big red guy, you know.
You don't watch the quarterbacks. See them up close and to work with them up close is how gratifying
was that? It's good. They all have some skills. I thought all have some skills, all kind of focused in. You know, they're got a lot of stuff rolling through their mind, but I thought still pulled the trigger pretty good. You know, there's some turnovers and bad throws that I think will be alleviated as it becomes a little more clear and it's not moving so fast. It's one thing to watch it on film and say, all right, I know what I'm supposed to do, and then for it to be instant and clear as you're lined up back there. But I was encouraged. Thought the O-line played good today. Looked like the O-line played good. Looked like the DBs played pretty good. Just constant.
I'm going to cut that short because we only got like a little more than 8 minutes left in the show, so I want you to get as much as you can in before we get out of here.
So I had to show love to my guy, Mike Leach. But with that being said, I can watch the state level 2 or 3 years before they do anything in the Pac-12 right now. Man.
Glad you a fan of the air raid?
I'm a fan of the air raid, man. I am a fan of the air raid. Excellent offense. I like action. I like action.
You guys enlighten me what the air raid is, because I don't know where that is.
That is the Mike Leach. I'm going to find me a quarterback, senior quarterback out of nowhere, and he's going to throw for 5,000 yards.
Is that right?
And I don't know. Every year, if you look at his quarterbacks, like, there'll be a redshirt senior who's never played, and he'll come out and he'll throw for 5,000 yards. Like, everybody puts up numbers in his offense. He's never had a quarterback not put up numbers in his offense. I mean, he did produce Michael Crabtree. He was good. I don't know how he didn't turn out the way he was in the NFL, but in college, him and Graham Harrell, that offense was nice at Texas Tech.
That's what it was.
It's a great offense. So what they run, like four wide and running back out the backfield too? No running plays.
no running plays?
They might run a draw.
Wow. Really?
It is pure passing.
No, you got to get hip to the air raid, man. So you got to tune into some Washington State games, man. See what we're talking about.
It's fun to watch if you like points. If you like to see ridiculous numbers by quarterbacks, has any of your quarterbacks ever became anything in the NFL?
I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. But just off the top of my head, I don't believe.
I think Graham Harrell was the best one, and I don't think he's not doing anything. But yeah, everybody he picks up, it's like, yeah, we're going to air it out. Air it out, straight fly, let's go.
So if you're a high school recruit and you're a quarterback and you want to go
wide
to
receiver?
Or a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Or a wide out. This is the school to go to.
Yes.
Under this coach.
You will put up ridiculous numbers in that offense.
And this is why I was so upset that Merlin didn't make the hire when Leach was available.
You're not a Randy Edsall?
He was good at UConn. He could have stayed at UConn. There's no need to make the trip up north.
You're not a fan of Randy Edsall?
No, I don't like Randy Edsall. I do not like Randy Edsall.
So, yeah, it's going to be like the Pac-10. They don't play anybody. The Big Ten is down, way down, with Penn State and Ohio State on probation.
Oh, well, you speaking of Big Ten, let's bring up your favorite quarterback out of the Big Ten. Let's cue up some Denard
Robinson. Nardal.
Who?
Denard Robinson.
I can do that.
And standing by, the quarterback for the Wolverines, Denard Robinson, now a senior. Man, time flies. Denard, last year, the big question going into the season was, how would you take to Brady Hoke's offense? What was it like for you a year ago learning the new wrinkles in a new offense?
Oh man, it was fun. I mean, it was a learning experience. All I wanted was the opportunity to play quarterback, and he gave me that opportunity. And so the only thing I can do is say thank you to Coach Hoke for giving me the opportunity. And playing in a great offense like that, you know, it's kind of tough learning a new offense, but if you keep staying focused and you got your teammates and your brothers to fight with you, so. Everybody, it was just a process of just trying to get better every day.
That was last year, you said, a learning experience. What's it like this year, stepping into that offense, having gone through it for an entire season?
Man, it's like night and day. I mean, instead of crawling, you know, we starting to jog a little bit. And we're picking it up and trying to sprint. You know, we take it step by step. So we just got done finished summer training, and now we got to go to summer camp. So. We're trying to move forward with offense and trying to get better with our patterns and everything, just timing and everything. So we're trying to make sure we're crispy with everything and being able just to now I can just look back and read the defense instead of worry about what routes the guys are running instead of, you know, just think about other things.
Denard, we have seen you dazzle with your feet over the last couple of years. Characterize your growth as a passer, though, over the last year.
Oh man, I think I've grown a lot. You know, last year I had a lot of interceptions due to not knowing the offense and not setting my feet, throwing up my back foot. You know, so that's some of the things that I'm growing to get better at now. And Coach Borges is helping me out doing now. And you know, these things are helping me out right now. Being able to push the pocket, being able to slow things down instead of rushing through it. You know. I'm pretty fast, but if I get in the pocket, I can just calm it down and just slow and take my time with it. And so once I start slowing down, everything is kind of slowed down with that. So.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left, Rock, Black. So I wanted to cut that short so you guys can wrap it up or do whatever you want to do before we get out of here.
Well, this is Lee's favorite quarterback, so I'm going to let him touch on. Oh, man, Denard Robinson. What's going on in the Big Ten,
man? I don't hate Denard Robinson like most people do. I'm like, he's 6 feet, 190-something pounds. I mean, he's not a good thrower at all. I mean, if you watch him throw, he's not a good thrower. He can run. That's his best thing. And I'm just like, why are y'all even letting this dude throw the football? Just let him hike it. Just let him hike it. Let's let him hike it and go. Let him hike it. Because if you let him hike it and go, he's going to keep you in games. This is when they start. When he has to throw, that's when people in Michigan get nervous. Him being 6 feet and he got linemen out of 6'7", 6'8", he can't see over the line. He has to roll out. He has to get out of the pocket to see. He can't get under center. His center's 4 inches taller than he is. He'd be hitting the dude in the back of the head. So, yeah, I'm not a Denard Robinson fan, but I think Michigan is going to come out of the other side in the Pac-10, in the Big Ten, to play Wisconsin. Brady Hoke is doing his thing up there in Michigan, and he needs to while he has a chance while Ohio State is on probation. Because
yeah,
once Urban Meyer gets him, it's going to be pretty much Ohio State country again up there.
Yes, it will be. Yes, it will be. And I look for Monty Ball to have a great campaign. I'm so upset at the news that he got attacked a couple of weeks back, but looks like he'll be fine. He should have a big season up in Wisconsin. I see Michigan and Wisconsin, too, battling out for this division in the Big Ten.
Yeah, everybody on Wisconsin side, Ohio State and Penn State, can't play for it.
Yeah.
So it's down to what? Indiana, Purdue, and Illinois. That's their only competition on their side.
Okay. Hey, Black, we're in overtime now. You want to wrap it up? Because I got to get out of here.
Sure, we can wrap it. Would you like to preview all the shows? That's one of the things you do.
Yeah. Okay, tomorrow, first of all, I want to thank everyone for listening, the people that did listen, the people that are in the chat room that are listening also, and for the people that called in Macau, he called in briefly, and also Vic Gardner. Tune in tomorrow, which is going to be the master plan. I'll be hosting that show, and I'll be talking about fantasy football, and I'll be talking about the position of tight ends. Like the previous weeks, I've talked about running backs. Go to the archives. You can listen to that. Last week I talked about wide receivers. You go to the archives, you can listen to that pertaining to fantasy football. Now we're going to be talking about tight ends. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's an hour and a half show, and I think it's going to help you in your fantasy football season and draft if you listen to that. We also have Kim Fun on Tuesday coming back. She'll be Compassion Dikini, which airs on 4:30 Eastern Standard Time, 1:30 Pacific Time. She's a totally different show from any of our other shows. One of the other shows we have is the FFP Crew Show, which is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm host along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, which is we talk about a lot of things. I don't know if Black got a special guest or not, but we bring in a lot of people. We talk about a lot of things. Tune into that show, and you'll get it, a lot of information for that show. On Friday, we have the No Chaser with Mac Williams as the host. I'm also the co-host of that show. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's basically a political show. Sometimes we talk about sports. This Friday, we're going to be talking about Chick-fil-A. I know that's one of the big topics of the last few weeks. Mac and I are going to be talking about Chick-fil-A. Mac happens to be a independent/conservative. I have to be on the opposite side, just like Hannity and Combs. That's me and Mac, but we're on the Black side. So tune into that, and that's straight No Chaser. We tell it like it is, whether we like it or not, or whether you like it or not. We tell it like it is on Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And back once again, I'll be here again on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the FSP Crew Show. We'll be talking about sports and politics as we always do at this time. With that being said, Black, is there anything that you want to say? And even our guest, is there anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, thanks for having me on the show. It was fun. Hopefully I can do this again, come closer to college football season or during the season. Once all this stuff plays out, then you can really hear my dislike for the BCS.
Well, it was a pleasure having you, and we definitely want to get you back on here to spread your wisdom around. How's that?
Oh, no problem.
Yes, definitely. Appreciate Adrian coming on. Folks, we'll have a parlay battle going on during the college football season. So you can either bet with Mr. Lee or you can always bet with your man, the Boogie Monster. Either way, we're going to get you college winners every week. So make sure you tune into it. Thank everybody for listening. Thank Jerry for being the boys' man today. For muting Vic, you did a wonderful job. Wonderful, wonderful job. You guys tune in next week. We'll be here same time again, 1 p.m. Eastern.
And you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live. You know I got mine.
but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.